On the logo of Toronto Baptist Seminary, there were two Greek words, kata Christon, which means according to Christ. We are determined to learn God's word, to study God's word, to understand God's word, to preach God's word, and to teach God's word according to Christ. This principle of Christ-centeredness should also apply into our spiritual life. When we pray, we need to pray according to Christ. When we worship, when we serve, we need worship and serve according to Christ. Because Christ is the one who died for sinners. Christ is the one who raised up from the grave and gave us a new life. Because between God and sinners, there is only one mediator, Christ Jesus. That's why we need to do all things in Christ, through Christ, according to Christ. This evening, I'd like to share with you an Old Testament story so that we may consider this principle of Christ-centeredness. This story we found in 2 Kings chapter 6, which is the time when the kingdom of Israel getting declined. We know God blessed King David and even his descendant, like King Solomon, was blessed abundantly by God. God gave him peace, gave him wealth, gave him wisdom. Yet when Solomon became older and older, he married a lot of foreign wives. And those foreign wives took his heart away from the true and living God. And Solomon started to worship foreign gods. Because of that, after he died, the United Kingdom was divided to Northern Kingdom, Israel, and Southern Kingdom, Judah. We know that in the Northern Kingdom, there was no good God, good kings, all bad kings, because they worship idols, the golden calf. By the time of King Ahab, because he also married a gentle wife, Jezebel, this evil queen introduced Baal worship to God's people. And we can imagine at that time, the decline is not only in spiritual area, but also moral decline, social decline, political decline. Everything goes down. Then by God's grace, God sent prophet Elijah, a wonderful, great prophet. This prophet Elijah was fervent, was filled with zeal and passion for God's glory. He went and prayed. He was a prophet with power. He prayed, and for 3.5 years, there was no rain fall on the ground. And then he called the king, and he called all the people to Mount Carmel. There, he spoke to the rebellious people, said, "Let us pray, let us prove. Let the God who answers with fire, that he is God." So we know the story. The fire came down from heaven, consumed all the sacrifice Elijah put on the altar. He expected a great revival. And then what happened? After one night, the evil queen said, "I will let you die within one day." So Elijah ran away in depression. We remember the story goes, under a broom tree, Elijah prayed to God and asked God to take his life. He said, "I am no better than my fathers." And then later, we know God appeared to Elijah, this prophet of fire on Mount Horeb, and told Elijah, "I have kept 7,000 faithful men and women in Israel who have not bowed their knees to Baal." You thought, Elijah, you think that only you left. But the Lord kept 7,000 in Israel. God also ordered Elijah to anoint his successor, Elisha, the second prophet, to succeed Elijah's work. And now we read the story in 2 Kings chapter 2. At the end of his story, he left that place. He traveled with his student or disciple, Elisha, from Gilgal to Bethel, to the Jordan. And there beyond the Jordan, before he was taken by God in the whirlwind, he asked Elisha, he said, "Ask what I shall give, what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." Then Elisha said to his master, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit upon me." He asked for double portion of the spirit which was upon Elisha because he would succeed his master's work. And then after Elijah was taken, Elisha went back to the southern kingdom of Israel to minister those 7,000 God's faithful people. Elijah, his name means the Lord is God. He proved that with that miraculous power. Well, his successor, Elisha, the name means my God is salvation. So compared to his master, Elisha is a prophet of comfort. Elijah is a prophet of fire, God's wrath and righteousness. Well, Elisha performed many miracles. Most of those miracles are miracles of comfort, to comfort those 7,000 faithful men. And here we found this story in 2 Kings chapter 6. A very short story, only 7 verses. The first 3 verses is talking about a moving plan. And then verse 4 and 5, talking about a fallen axe head. And then verse 6, a floating axe head. And then verse 7, the last part, a restored axe head. So the story goes, one day, the sons of the prophets, they called the sons of the prophets, basically, they are the disciples, the students, like our seminary students. But they are not only students learning theology, they are servants of this man of God. They are followers. They will imitate, they will learn with Elisha. So one day they came to their master and said, "See, now, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us." They addressed an issue, a problem. What is the problem? "The place we dwell with you, the place where you in charge, is too small." Like maybe one seminary student come to the principal, said, "Principal, you see the residence, only 4 townhouses. It's not enough for us. We have so many students." The problem we can relate it here in Toronto, the housing. The rental cost is so expensive. And then they come out with a suggestion. They have a plan. They said, "Yes, the place we dwell with you under your charge is too small for us, maybe because we have too many disciples or sons of the prophets, or maybe where they live is like Toronto. It's just too expensive. If they got money, if we get money here, even in Toronto, we can still find larger places." In the following part, you can see the prophets and even his followers are poor people. So their plan, their proposal, their suggestion is, "How about we go to the Jordan? Let us get out of this big city. Let us live in the rural area, the Jordan, there to get a piece of land, you don't need to spend any money. It's free. And not only the land is free, but also the labor is free. We as the sons of prophet, we can work. We don't need to hire the tradesmen to pay them. So expensive nowadays. And also the materials is free. There in the Jordan, there are many trees. We can cut the trees. And we have those building materials and we can build a place big enough for us to drive. They addressed an issue, a problem, and then they proposed a plan, a suggestion. The answer is one word, go. Elisha said, go. Then in verse 3, one of them, the scripture said, then, after the first request, then the second one of them said, be pleased to go with your servants. Be pleased. Another translation said, be consent to go with us. And they didn't say us even. They said, your servants. We are your servants. If we move out of this great city, we live in the rural area, and you still stay here, how can we serve you? We are your servants. Be concerned. Be pleased. Do not be upset with us. You see, in the words, it seems they are very careful. They do not want to offend their master. It seems they may consider their master may not be happy with their plan, with their complaint, with their ideas. But Elisha said, I will go. I will go. Notice here, where they go? The Jordan. Where is the Jordan? The Jordan in the Old Testament scripture, even in the New Testament, is a very important, special place. There, a few hundred years ago, their forefathers entered into the promised land as God divided the water of the Jordan. And there, a few years ago, maybe, Elisha's master, Elijah, left his mission field because he was frustrated. He said, I'm not as good as my fathers. Take my life. God took him beyond the Jordan. Maybe somehow these disciples thought their master Elisha might not like that idea to move to the Jordan. We don't know why they consider Jordan, but rather than another place. If we want to get out of Toronto, there's many good places we can go. But why would they want to go to the Jordan? That's a place of sadness, at least for Elijah. Anyway, the second part we see in verse 4 and 5. So the prophet Elisha went with them as he promised, I will go. He went with them and they came to the Jordan. Well, they came to Jordan, the plan is carried out. They began to work. They began to cut down the trees. They began to get a piece of land and to build a place that they can drive. A larger place, spacious place they can drive. And then verse 5 said, as one of them cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, alas, my master, it was borrowed. As one of the disciples, one of the people cutting the trees, the axe head fell into the water. Now we see, as their plan were carried out, a new crisis arises. In the ancient time, even nowadays, sometimes we cut trees. We use axe to cut the trees. In the ancient time, axes can be an expensive, important piece of tool. Normally, they will use a big chunk of stone or iron or other kind of metal, and attached to a wooden stake. Used ropes to bind it. And then when they cut trees, they need use all their strength and power to strike the tree, because that's a kind of hard labor. The tree is strong. You need to use all your strength to cut. And well, as the axe strike onto the tree, there is a concussion. And often that bond axe head would be loosened. So often you need to bind it again. In this case, maybe because the son of prophet, they are like students in the seminary. They are good at study, paperwork, but not labors. They stretch out, and then they forget what's loosened. But thankfully, this axe head didn't flow away and fall on anyone's head or body, kill anyone. It fell into the water because they were beside the Jordan River. And then the axe head fall into the bottom of the water immediately. And then we heard this man's cry. He said, "Alas, this is a very strong, emotional cry of sadness. Alas, oh no, my master, it was borrowed. For us, axe shouldn't be too expensive. If we go to Home Depot, you will find maybe $20, $30, you can purchase a new one. But imagine 2,000, 5, 6, 7, 800 years ago, a piece of tool like that would be very expensive. It would be like something we borrow a very expensive vehicle and drive on the highway and get vehicle crushed, destroyed. And we as poor people, poor student of the seminary cannot afford that. That's why he cried out, "Alas, alas, it was borrowed. I have no money to pay this expensive item of tool." And he cried out, not simply to his fellow disciples. He cried out to the man of God. He said, my master, alas, my master. He cried out for help from his master. Then Elisha, the man of God, in verse 6, use that phrase, the man of God, said, "Where did it fall?" Before he take an action, he asked a key question. So you see, his word is very brief, very short, very small. Even just one word, "Go." And two words, "I will go." Original language, Hebrew, two words, "I will go." And here, another two words, "Where did it fall?" This is a key word. Where the problem happened. Where is the crisis? And then he showed him the place. And there, according to that place, the man of God cut off a stick and threw it in there, where the axe head fell into the water. Here we see the man of God did something rather strange to us. When his disciple cried out, "Alas, my master, my axe head flew out and fell into the water. It was borrowed. I can by no means jump into the water to take it back. And I cannot continue my cutting trees business. And I have no money to buy one to return this expensive tool." And then Elisha did this strange action. He cut off a stick and threw it there where the axe head fall into the water. And then we see, verse 6 said, made or caused the iron float. He said, iron. The axe head is not simply made of stone, but made of a heavy piece of metal iron. It was heavy, fall into the water. It doesn't need to take 2 seconds. Let that thing go into the deep water. But now, a miracle happened. The Arpahshad flowed onto the surface of the river. This is a miracle. Many times I said people in this world cannot accept a miracle. If they can't accept a miracle, a miraculous, supernatural thing, they can't accept a supernatural God. If there is God, God certainly can do supernatural work. And this work is done by the man of God, Elisha, the prophet of God. It's not simply Elisha, but God worked miraculously through Elisha and let that piece of heavy metal float on the surface of the water. And then at the end, Elisha said to his disciple, "Take it up or pick it out and take it out. Take it out from water. Take it up to yourself." And then he reached out his hand. It seems where the axe head fell is not too far from the river bank. He can reach out his hand and took it. The axe head was returned, restored. You can imagine the comfort to that particular disciple. The comfort is that burden relieved. Because before his master performed that miracle, he has a heavy burden there. This is a piece of expensive, very useful tool. I lost it. Now the burden is removed. And he is relaxed. And he can go back to his work. And he would not only have comfort, but also joy, also amazement, also praises to God. A story like this, very interesting to us. There in the beginning, because of the living condition is too small for them, they think they can come up with some ideas, and they even encourage their master to go with them. And then where they carry out their plans, they face another challenge there. And then one of these disciples even lost his heart because this axe head fell into water. And from the text, it seems they would by no means get into it and take it out. They would only call the man of God. If we meditate upon this story, as a famous painting there, the focal point will be that axe head. Yes, that axe head will be the center of the story. There, this piece of iron was a big chunk. It should be sharp at his age because it was used to cut trees. But it's heavy. It's heavy enough for the water. But the water would not generate enough buoyancy to hold it up. So the metal dropped into the bottom of the river. It was an unbearable weight in this piece of thing. And also, as we look into this focal point, this axe head, it was in the water, in the deep, deep water, deep enough that all those disciples would not be able, maybe some of them, many of them are able to dive, to swim. But this occasion, it happened in a very, very deep place, deep enough that all of them would not be able to jump in to take it out. The depth is unreachable. It's too deep for the disciples to get. But not only unbearable weight, unreachable depths, but also we see there around this axe head, there is an affordable consequence to this particular disciple. Because he was poor, he borrowed this tool, he would by no means pay back. They got no money, basically. There is a huge consequence for him. Unaffordable consequence. So you see, this metal, this axe head, around it, at least we see three things: unbearable weight, unreachable depths, unaffordable consequence. That is a vivid picture of our conditions so often. You see, often we found we ourselves in that kind of situation. There are so many things in our life can frustrate us. There are so many things in our lives can make us depressed. There are so many things happening in our lives can make us lose heart. I came to Canada from China 24 years ago. I know with me there's many other immigrants. They have great expectations before they come to Canada. And while they come to the country, they face challenges. The situation may not as what they expected. Just like the work may not simple as though the son's prophet expected. We can everybody take a tree down and we can make a larger place. And things happen, it's hard to find a job. It's hard to make a living. It's hard to deal with a hungry children or a happy wife. And there, the marriage broken. And there, unemployment, even some serious sickness. And then depression. Then depression, like that heavy piece of axe head. It used to be sharp. It used to be fervent. It used to be powerful, yet drop into that cold, deep water. Elisha was a man like that. Sorry, Elijah, his master, was fervent, was passionate for God's glory. He would be like all of us if we can perform a miracle like Elijah performed at Mount Carmel. We thought the whole Toronto will be turned over. But the reality is not like that. The reality is not like that. Even Elijah performed that kind of great, marvelous miracle. People didn't change. They got more persecution. If he didn't perform that miracle, maybe Elijah can keep his life. Now, he was on the run. He was persecuted. He was pursued. Depression. So even a man like Elijah would pray and said, take my life. I'm no good as Moses. I'm not as good as David. I'm a useless servant. Take my life. Maybe those sons of the prophets of Elijah thought Elijah should be better than his master Elijah. Because we see more miracles Elijah performed. Maybe if we follow this master, we will have a great, glorious future. Because he can perform many, many miracles. Not simply teach theology in the seminary, but perform miracles, so many. More than his master Elijah performed. But by and by, they may find themselves in a similar situation as Elijah was. Maybe that was the reason behind the sin. They didn't go to Elijah and said, Master, we have been distribute tracts on every street of this downtown Toronto, but no one come to the Lord. How about let's move? Move out of Toronto. To the Jordan. the depression. The depression is not only in the ministry, but also in everyone's life. I said, we have so many things in our life can frustrate us. Not only the housing, the price, not only the traffic in Toronto, even a little bit of thing can ruin our whole day. Because we are sinners. We are living in such a sin-corrupted world. And there, when the disciples went to the Jordan, they pleaded with their master, said, please, please, be pleased to go, to come with us. They are blessed because they have the man of God with them. Otherwise, when the axe head falls into water, maybe that thing will stay there forever. But blessed are those disciples. They plead with Elijah, please come with us. And then when things happen, they can cry out to their master. And their master cut off a stick, a wooden branch, and threw it there where the axe head fell. We may think Elisha might know something special. Even scientists in 21st century would not know. Maybe this kind of tree is special with some special magnitude kind of power to attract that iron from the deep river. But do we have a stake in this world? Have you ever known a stake in this world has that power to attract an axe head of iron from deep water? Even you have that, can you use it to lift up that depressed heart? No, there's no such thing in this world. But we do have something in this world. We do have a tree in this world on which our Savior was crucified. The Son of God was nailed onto that wooden stick. And there we see he came into this world. For what reason? For us. He carried that unbearable burden, the burden of our sin, the burden of the cross to the Calvary. And there he died. There he died and shed his blood. And his blood paid the price. What price? It's not simply the price of an axe head. The price of our sin. Enormous, infinite price. He paid that price and said, it is done. You can be relieved. I have paid a price you don't worry about. It is borrowed, but I paid the price. And there our Lord died and plunged into that deep, dark place called grave, called death. How deep is that place? Is that place deeper than the depths of Jordan River? Yes. Our Lord, descendant not only from heaven to earth, but even for us, he descended into that lowly, lowly place. But praise God, on the third day, he rose up as the disciples, as the apostles testified, the Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is no longer in that dark, deep place called death. The Lord is risen indeed. This is the gospel, the good news. Just as those disciples around Elisha and that poor servant of the Lord, they said, wow, this miracle happened. The axe had flowed from the depths of water. This is the miracle that we need to take into our heart. This is the miracle of God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have many things in our life can make us depressed. When people have a lot of great expectations, when we were a little bit younger, we think we are able. We are strong like those disciples. We are strong. We can cut trees. We can build. We can rebuild. We can make money. We can make a larger place. Only to realize that their ability, their power is so limited. Even a little thing can totally change their life journey. Do you experience that in your life? Or are you experiencing such things in your life? We need to come to the Lord. We need, as his disciples, plead with the Lord, draw close to the Lord, and ask the Lord, come with me. I'm foolish. I think I know. But only the Lord knows all things. We should imitate these disciples of Elisha. Plead with the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. And know the Lord. To go forth with the Lord. Not by our own strength. Not by our own power, our own might, our own intelligence. But by his power. By his power. Praise to God, we have such a wonderful Savior. We have such a wonderful Savior. He bare that unbearable burden for us. He plunged to the depths of death. He paid that infinite price for us. And now he is sitting in the right hand of Almighty God so that we can trust him. When we face challenges, when we find ourselves in crisis, in depression, in deep waters, we can cry out to him, Alas, Master, save us, help us, we pray to you. And he will hear, and he will do, and he will help us. He will reach out from heaven to hold us. That is the beauty of our Christian faith. And we need to not only draw close to the Lord, not only pray or depend on the Lord, we also need to listen to him, obey him, do whatever he speaks to us. A simple word like, take it up, pick it up, lift it out. When you see that piece of metal floating on the water, do not be astonished. Do not be hesitant. Reach out your hand. By faith, reach out your hand to receive the power of God, to receive the mercy of God, to receive the gift of God, because he loves his people. When we listen to such blessed word, take it up, take it out, we need to reach out. There are many people in this world may also hear this word, take it up, but they do not. They do not reach out in his hand, they may still ponder why. They still ponder this is not, it is an illusion. This can't be true. By faith we reach out and accept it. You see, on the cross, this almighty, glorious, majestic Son of God, the second person of Trinity, the God of very God, he died and bore his secret head. For what reason? That my heart will be lifted up. My heart will be lifted up from that burden of sin, from that oppression of Satan, from that depths of death. That secret head bored on the cross for you and for me. If you are depressed today, if you lose your heart because of an axe head, or because of the housing price, because of your job, because of a marriage, because of your work, relationships, draw close to the Lord and see that a sacred head bowed on the cross for you, that you may receive that power of Holy Spirit. This is the truth behind the miracle of that floating axe head. If you and I are true believers, let us testify the power of God. Let us live out of a life of a floating axe head. When people see us, they will see that shocking sin of a floating axe head. Yes, it's heavy. Yes, it's in the water. Yes, it's expensive. But floating, as Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. A picture of a floating axe head. He said, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. In our lowly life, in our humble life, we can be such a miracle to the world. We can be such a floating axe head. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your infinite love. We can never fully understand why you would love us so much. We are your enemies. We are strangers. We are but just dust and ashes. You have no obligation to save us. You have no responsibility to let your son die for us. Yet you ordained such a wonderful salvation. And our Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago, accomplished this wonderful work of redemption. And now you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. May the power of the Holy Spirit implies to us that we would receive the power from above, that we would live out a glorious life to glorify you, not us. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.